मह्यं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सह गणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। So we'll speak something from the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita second chapter, Arjuna he explains to Krishna about his problem. And then Krishna gives the solution. Arjuna's problem was, he said, my dear Lord, that because of the miserly weakness, karpanya dosho pahata swabhava. He said, because of the miserly weakness, I do not know what I am supposed to do. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the Gita, in that purport, he says, life is so designed. What is the design of this world? The world is so designed. He explains there is a continuous perplexities in life. Perplexities are basically, in Sanskrit it is dharma sankat. There is a conflict between doing something and not doing something. Not doing is also when we decide to not to do something, but that is also important. And doing something also is very tricky and very delicate. So when there is a conflict between doing something and not doing something, that creates a confusion, that creates a perplexity. Sometimes there is a conflict between two good things. And sometimes there is a conflict between two evil things. We have to choose one of the evil. It is not that all the time there is a conflict between good and bad. Life is not so clearly designed where there is black and white. Sometimes you have to decide between the two blacks. Sometimes you have to decide between the two white. In fact, it is very rare where the problem is black and white. We may say, "Arey, wo to rakshas log hai, main devta hoon." It is not like that. So that is dharma sankat. And Arjuna was facing that dharma sankat because he had to deal with the conflict which caused because on the other side of the army were those people whom he loved more than his life. Bhishma, Drona, Bhurishrava. So what was the conflict? Affection, which was natural. Respect, which was natural. Gratitude, which was natural. And then, this was all there against Bhishma, Drona, Kripacharya. But then there was a conflict of gratitude, respect, affection, or on the other side there was truth. On the other side there was dharma. Now if you study, many of us, all the time we go through this. And what do we do when we approach God? We say, Krishna, please solve this problem. he does not solve the problem. Why should he solve the problem? It is our problem. So what does Krishna do then? Why should one approach God if he does not solve the problems, and then what is the use of God? Many times, you know, people use God as a tool. Money is a tool, worker is a tool, and God also has to be a tool so that I can overcome my difficulties and challenges. Or some people, they only want sympathy. They keep on speaking about their problem, and you have to keep on, you know, wiping their tears. If you give them the solution, or because solutions means one has to take an action. Sympathy, like Dhritarashtra has this syndrome. What is Dhritarashtra syndrome? He continuously cries. And he gives solution, he said, you are very harsh to me. He will tell Vidura, he will tell Maitreya Rishi, he said, you are being too harsh. So what Dhritarashtra wanted was not solution, he wanted sympathy. And if a solution was friendly to him in regards to not taking action, then he would actually accept it. But life is not like that. Life is about not gaining sympathy. Life is about actually doing something about the problem. So if you study Bhagavad Gita, in the entire 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, only in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna in 2 verses, he gave a kind of a prediction to Arjuna. My dear Arjuna, other than you 5 Pandavas, everybody will be wiped out. But because it was a Vishwarup form and Arjuna was so much overwhelmed by seeing that form of the Lord, he did not remember what Krishna said. What he remembered in the entire Bhagavad Gita was, Krishna repeatedly told Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, whether victory or defeat, you have to act. Because you are a Kshatriya, it's your dharma, and you have to act on behalf of dharma. Whether on the other side good people are there, bad people are there, your relatives are there, your relatives are not there, somebody whom you respect, everything is there. But now you got certain responsibility to perform. It was very painful for Arjuna. Therefore, what does Krishna say in the 2nd chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? He says, it's a most important verse in the Gita. That's a key to the treasure of Bhagavad Gita. This verse does not say that your problem will be solved if you approach God. What does it say? If you approach Krishna, basically you get the ability. People come to God to escape the problem. But one should approach God to transcend the problem. There is a difference between escaping the problem and transcending the problem. So what did Krishna tell Arjuna? The first instruction, a solution what Lord gave to Arjuna is Matra Sparshastu Kauntaya Shitoshna Sukha Dukada. This is actually the foundational principle of the psychology of material world. Distress is there and happiness is there. And whom is he telling? He is telling it to Arjuna. Krishna did not tell Arjuna, Arjuna, don't worry, I am there, you sleep behind the chariot and I will fight for you. Since you are my devotee, tumko to kuch karna hi nahi hai, main hi sab karunga. Nowhere Krishna says that. You know, your life is very easy now, because you are my devotee, I will do everything for you. Nowhere Krishna says that. So what he said, the material world is so designed, whether you are a devotee or not, one has to deal with a dual world. It's a duality. Therefore, what Krishna gives is the right attitude. Krishna consciousness is there not to, you know, miraculously, magically to overcome all our troubles. I clap my hand, I get a job. I clap my hand, I get a promotion. Then I clap my kartal, I play my kartal, then I get something else. No, coming to Krishna with this kind of intention will only increase our faithlessness in God, because that is not going to happen. That is not going to happen. So Arjuna had to deal with this conflict. The conflict of truth or compassion. Or conflict of truth or respect. Or conflict of truth or my affection. Therefore Prabhupada explains, there is a continuous perplexity in life. Everybody goes through it. And everybody will continue to go through it, even though one will take to Krishna consciousness. Why? Because life is designed like that. It is dvandva. It is a duality. Because it is a duality, one who does not have Krishna's favor, Krishna's grace, when he becomes very responsible with God's, without God's grace, that responsibility becomes burdensome. When we practice different dharmas, there is Pitri Dharma, there is Putra Dharma, there is Pati Dharma, there is Patni Dharma, there is Satya Dharma. There are different kinds of dharma are there. There is Ahimsa Dharma. All these isolated dharma without Krishna Dharma, without God, even if you do it rightly, what does it do? It does not give satisfaction. It creates a burden. So responsibility without God's grace is nothing but huge burden. Therefore, people at one point of time, they start saying, "Bas ho gaya abhi," and I just want to give up my body. Now that is not detachment. That is not that one has become detached from this material world. But rather they are so battered by the material world and they do not have the grace of God. It's nothing but a mental suicide. Dying does not give us liberation. In the Bhagavatam, Mother Rukmini, when she wrote letter to Krishna, asking him to help him to overcome the marriage which her brother had decided that she had to marry with Shishupal. Now it's not easy. Now Rukmini was supposed to be married to Shishupal. It was all arranged. And Krishna was elsewhere. So what Rukmini did, she did two things. She remembered Krishna and she also did something, an action bound. She sent a letter to Krishna through a Brahman. So there was a remembrance and there was also war. There was an action. She did not simply remember Krishna, Krishna, you save me from this. There was a continuous remember of Krishna, but there was also an action. Therefore, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yuddhacha. There is a remembrance of Krishna and there is also a struggle. There is a war. War means action. So therefore we see that she wrote, "My dear Lord, if death can give me your grace, I am willing to die millions of times." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted this to Sanatan Goswami. When Sanatan Goswami wanted to quit his body underneath the Ratha cart, he said, "My dear Sanatan," he said, "if dying can give Krishna, then Rukmini says she will die hundreds of times. Death does not give Krishna. Death gives another material body, for your information." No? So therefore, the thought of dying is not Krishna consciousness. Death is not synonymous to Krishna. Krishna consciousness opens gate to liberation through the medium of death for someone who has gone through the whole process of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is not about escaping our responsibility. Krishna consciousness means the responsibilities are there, but the part of the responsibility is, do I practice my Krishna Dharma? People say many times, "Aray, for me my children are only God. Good luck." No? Because when you make your children as God, then they get irritated afterwards. Right? Somebody says, "No, for me my country is God." Somebody will say, "For me, my father is God." Therefore, if you study the Mahabharata, there are many good people, but they are bound by their individual dharma, which was not in connection with Krishna. Of course, Bhishma Dev is Mahajan, therefore, he is teaching an example to us. What example he teaches? However great you are, however sacrificing you are, however selfless you are, however dedicated you are to your family. What a dedication he had for his father's satisfaction. He was following Putra Dharma. Now Putra's Dharma towards his father. So diligently, just to make his father happy, Bhishma Dev gave up his own happiness. Lifelong Brahmacharya so that his father can enjoy. lifelong vow he took that I will never sit on the throne of Hastinapur. Only Satyavati's son will sit. And I will see that Hastinapur's Rajgaddi will be protected till someone, a good personality, sits. And just to protect that dharma which he had taken vow in front of his father, he fought. He is teaching us the lesson. He fought against Krishna. And there was Karna who was fighting for Mitra Dharma. There was Dushyasana. Now Dushyasana was fighting. What a loyalty he had for his brother. He never questioned his brother. Bada bhai hai, follow whatever he says. And what was his dharma? Bhratra Dharma. Ki my older brother is like my father, I need to follow him. So if you see from a very individual perspective, everybody had something good to contribute. But then what happened? All that contribution of different dharma was unfortunately was against Krishna dharma. So with Krishna, if Krishna is in the picture, if the Lord is in the picture, then all other roles become meaningful. Therefore, responsibility without God's grace, it's a burdensome, and many times that responsibility becomes adharma, that responsibility becomes atheism, that responsibility becomes violence. Consciously or unconsciously. On the other hand, for the Pandavas, Prabhupada explained one time, he said, to be a devotee of Krishna, it's not easy. It's sublime, no doubt, it's very sublime. It is simple to understand, but to execute, it takes a strong and a sincere heart. Now, Arjuna was not less affectionate to his son. Arjuna was not less affectionate to his grandfather. Arjuna's affection for his teacher was so great, and Dronacharya also would reciprocate when Arjuna was seen by Dronacharya after 12 years, after 13 years. Basically, and Dronacharya saw Arjuna from a distant, and Arjuna dressed like a eunuch. He was not in his regular form also. And when Dronacharya saw Arjuna from a distance, he became so much happy. The tears were rolling from his eyes. And similarly, Arjuna never had a disrespect for his teacher. Even though in one sense, teacher, grandfather were watching his wife being disrobed. But he never felt any ill feeling towards them. So when Arjuna came on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know, when he said, Krishna, I want to see who is there on the other side. He already knew who is there on the other side. So when he saw people on the other side, Prabhupada explains Arjuna's compassion. Arjuna's compassion created that conflict. And therefore in one sense he became qualified to hear Bhagavad Gita. Of course, he approached Krishna. As I said, as Dhritarashtra was hesitant, he did not have the guts to solve his problem. And Duryodhan had so much of arrogance, he never thought anybody could guide him. But Arjuna was honest enough. He realized, if I have to approach Krishna, he is going to give me a solution. And the solution will not be very easy. And the solution was very tough. But he took it. And because he took that solution which was given by Krishna, therefore his responsibility flavored with grace became a successful venture. He became successful. Therefore, Sanjay explains to Dhritarashtra, my dear Dhritarashtra, wherever there is Krishna, yatra yogeshwaro Krishna, yatra partha dhanurdhara, tatra sri vijay. That wherever there is Arjuna, wherever there is Krishna. Krishna, what does he do? He gives vision. Vision giving is Krishna's responsibility. Action is Arjuna's responsibility. And when they came together, as Prabhupada explains in one place, when there is a cooperation between the living entity and God. So that cooperation was seen by Sanjay. Therefore he said, my dear Dhritarashtra, he said, there is no hope for you because there is Krishna and there is Arjuna. And therefore prosperity, victory, morality, peace is all with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotee. There is no hope for you. There is no chance for you. And also, what does Gita teaches us? Gita teaches us grace without responsibility is taking it for granted. Now, we look for grace. We want compassion of God. We want kindness of God. But for what? What is the purpose of God's kindness? Purpose of God's kindness is that we can engage in His service to perform Krishna Dharma. Therefore, Arjuna, when he practiced, he served, it was not a war between two cousins. Apparently, yes. You know, apparently it was a fratricidal war. But it was a war between dharmic people and adharmic people. It was a war between a dharmic person within. You know, Arjuna was a dharmic person, but there was a war within also. When he was fighting, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita he had to apply it continuously. When his son died, Abhimanyu died at the age of 16. One may ask this question, how did Krishna did not protect Abhimanyu if Arjuna had taken Krishna's shelter? That very question itself shows that one has not understood Bhagavad Gita. Because nowhere Krishna told Arjuna that your son will be protected. So that very question becomes what? You know, misunderstanding about God, misunderstanding about this world. Arjuna lost Abhimanyu. Somebody asked this question to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, how is that Arjuna lost his son, but he was crying? How can he cry? He heard Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada explains, he said, being affectionate to his son is natural. But binding oneself because of that affection and not performing one's action, that is moha. You have right to be affectionate, but you do not have the right to be bound by that. So it's natural. I said that is natural to be affectionate. And it is natural because Arjuna was doing the sacrifice. He lost his son. Draupadi is such a great devotee of Krishna. In fact, the Mahabharata's heart, they say the heart of Mahabharata is Draupadi's calling for Krishna. When she was being disrobed by all the Kurus. No, and then other people were watching. Nobody was there to protect her. So she closed her eyes and called for Krishna. Not for physical protection. Basically, now I have completely surrendered unto you. My life is at your feet. So that is the heart of Mahabharata. Her Sharanagati. Taking complete shelter of Krishna. Right. So that Draupadi, what she did? She lost all her 5 sons in the battlefield. She lost her father. She lost her brothers. She lost her very dear Abhimanyu. When you have all these things getting lost, unless you are a pervert, unless we are a pervert, we can't dare to sit on the, you know, on the throne of Hastinapur. One has to be really pervert to sit. In such a condition, an affectionate father, affectionate mother, affectionate, what do? They say, done with this world now. I just want to renounce. I can't take any more responsibility. And Bhagavatam explains, Yudhishthira Maharaj sat on the throne not because he wanted to enjoy. He was sitting only as a matter of duty. Only as a matter of duty he sat there. Why? Because he wanted to assist the Supreme Personality of Godhead to establish Dharma. Therefore, what Krishna explains, in this world there are 2 kinds of problems. One is a solvable problem and one is tolerable problem. And the number of solvable problems are very less. But number of tolerable problems are limitless. So those problems which we can solve, we should solve them. Those problems which you are supposed to tolerate, you have to tolerate them. But unfortunately, we don't know which one to tolerate and which one to solve. Therefore, a devotee or one who understands the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, what does he do? He always performs action in a such a way that having that responsibility, I need to do this. And if his hard work does not give him the fruit, then he says, okay, this is Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy. This is how I have to deal with life. And then he tries next one. Because there is not one problem. There is a children problem, there is a husband problem, there is a wife problem, there is a boss problem, no, there is a car problem, and there is a mind problem also. There is a problem of the senses also. There are so many problems. So a devotee is not overwhelmed by problems. And neither he approaches Krishna, Krishna, take out all the problems. I'll follow you. Therefore, what does Bhagavatam and Mahabharata teach us? What does Ramayana teach us? What does Chaitanya Charitamrita teach us? Even for that matter, Krishna, when he was living Vrindavan. Now Vrindavan, where he gave so much of love to the gopis and gopis reciprocated with Krishna. But why did he come to this material world? He had come to establish dharma. Yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So it was a very private, affectionate reciprocation with the gopis. But the time was up. He had to leave from Vrindavan. So one devotee was explaining there was a conflict in the heart of the Lord. Lord cannot have any conflict, but because he comes to this material world and is showing us, and he was thinking, wish I could establish dharma staying in Vrindavan only. If I can manage both, stay in Vrindavan and kill Kamsa also. Stay in Vrindavan and kill Duryodhan also. Stay in Vrindavan, kill Jarasandha also. It will be so nice. What does the Lord do? He is playing the role of a human being. But then he says, I can't do that. Therefore, even though I want to stay in Vrindavan personally, but the world requires me to go out of Vrindavan to establish dharma. Very difficult. So he had to choose. Therefore, in this world, we see there are two concepts. One is affection and one is efficiency. I was reading one quote of Radhanath Maharaj. He says, intelligence and humility. You know, intelligence or affection, these are the two things. Intelligence helps things grow and humility nourishes the community. So efficiency gives a system. Efficiency gives stability. But affection gives inspiration. If there is only affection and no systems, no efficiency, what does it do? It's nothing but pampering. You know, giving a lot of affection. Affection, affection. But that is nothing but giving lots of milk sweets. And only efficiency, only system, only discipline and no affection, that is brutal violence. That is how material world is created. So what does Krishna do? You know, he is giving this principle. Yes, I am very affectionate to my devotees, but I also need to do this. I have to create a system. There has to be orderliness. Therefore, I have to go out of the Vrindavan. Same thing happened with Lord Ramachandra also. Like recently, one student was asking. He said, I cannot handle Lord Ram what he did to Mother Sita. How can he do like this? You know, he has an idealistic syndrome. Itna adarsh, adarsh. Unka syndrome ho gaya. How can he do like this to his wife? He just dropped her to the forest just because koi dhobi ne bol diya. Aise kaise kar sakta hai? Many people ask this question. Again, without understanding the subtle nuances of the bhakti. Have you ever talked to Lord Ramchandra about it? Valmiki Ramayana explains. The pain what Lord was going through. In fact, Bhagavatam explains, when the Supreme Lord comes to this material world, he plays the role of a human being. He is not human being. What is avatar? Avatar is the intersection between divinity and human emotions. He can do marvelous things. He can do superhuman things, which the Lord does many times. But most of the time, he acts as if he is also going through that perplexity. And what was the perplexity? The perplexity was, it was not about right or wrong. Was it right on Lord Ramachandra to send her to the forest? Absolutely not right. He also knows that. It was not the decision between right or wrong. It was the decision between, you know, citizens and his personal satisfaction. It was not only one person. In fact, the Bhagavatam and the Ramayana explains, Har ek chaurai par, in every square, people were saying, how can Lord Ramchandra do this? He is such a great personality. How can he do like this? He is attached to his wife. He is obsessed with his wife. So now a king cannot defend in front of his subject. He can defend for others, but he cannot defend for himself. So then it became a choice. If I continue, then people will lose respect for me. And once they lose respect for me, then I cannot help my subject properly. But if I have to help my subjects properly, increase their trust in me, then whatever accusation they are doing, at least for some time, I have to keep Sita away from me. He did not abandon her. Rather, she was sent to the Valmiki Maharshi's ashram. That is the first thing which people don't understand. And what a pain he had to go through. And when Lord Ram performed the Ashwamedha Yajna, he was hoping, and that time all the subject had changed. They were feeling repentance, they were feeling regret that we made such a big crime against Mother Sita. They wanted her to come back. But then Lord Ram still has to do something as a king. So what did he do? He told Mother Sita, you know, you have to prove. She said, okay, I'll prove. And what did he prove? She said, if I am actually clean and pure, let Mother Bhumi open and take me inside. Now, can you imagine Mother Bhumi's conflict? She's the personality. If she takes Mother Sita inside, Lord Ram will also sink because of separation. If he does not take her inside, then she can't establish Sita being pure. In the Ramayana, very beautiful, when Agastya Rishi, when he met with Lord Ram, you know, Lord Ram, it was a beautiful ashram. It is about 36 kilometers from Nasik. So Agastya Rishi, when Lord Ram approached him, he said, I want to stay in your ashram. He was very happy. But after one day, Lord Ram said, you know, which is the best place for me to stay? So Valmiki Ramayana says, that very question Ram, which he asked, as the Supreme Lord, he asked that question to Agastya Rishi because he had not come to this world to have a nice time in Agastya Rishi's ashram. Because staying in Agastya Rishi's ashram means no demons would come. And if no demons would come, that means killing of Ravana would never be performed. So now Agastya Rishi, knowing the future, he knew, if I tell Lord Ram to go away from here, then I'll be responsible for separating Lord Ram from Mother Sita. That is the problem of knowing the future. Therefore they say that do not try to understand your future because it will destroy your present also. She was very pained. If I tell, I'll be causing the separation, and unless I cause the separation between Sita and Ram, Ravan will not be killed. What to do? Whether you are Agastya Rishi or you are, you know, a dhobi, this conflict will always happen. So with great pain, Agastya Rishi said, my dear Lord, go to Panchavati. That's a very beautiful place for you to stay. And Agastya Rishi knew that was the place, the headquarters of Shurpanakha. No? And she will come with her gang, you know, doing party. And that's what happened. Shurpanakha came there, and then Lord Ram killed 14,000 demons, then Ravan came, kidnapped Mother Sita. This was all new to Agastya Rishi, but that's what was supposed to happen. The separation had to take place. Therefore, Prabhupada very beautifully explained this, perplexities of life are constant. Don't approach Krishna, don't approach God to help you overcome perplexities. Rather, you make yourself so strong that you can handle perplexities in a nice way. And some problems will solve, and some problems will always stay. Because the material body is there. Disease is part of life, it's going to come. Old age, it's part of life. When we become old, neglect is part of life. When we become old, we become irrelevant. Right? When an old person, he remembers his good things and tries to encash on his past. And now people are not neglecting, but I did so much for him. remembering one's good work for others and trying to encash on that is like trying to drag the past into the present. Anyone who drags the future into the present and one who drags past into the present, he is nothing but a miserable personality. So therefore, it is part of life. The season changes. The rose flower becomes beautiful. Then eventually what happens? You know, it gets destroyed, it gets dried and gets lost. And the new flower comes. That is the niyam of the srishti. This is the niyam of the srishti. Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are yet to take sannyas. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami explains Lord Chaitanya as the best devotee of the mothers. Matravat. Matrabhakta Shiromani, the greatest devotee of the mothers. But what happened to him also? Because he had come with a mission. And what was the mission? The mission of giving holy name to everybody. And because he had to give holy name to everybody, and way to give holy name to everyone was, he had to take sannyas. And who would give up such a great mother like Sachi Mata? He had no trouble with married life. You know, Vishnupriya Mataji. Now, they were such a great personality, but then it became an issue whether my family and my devotees or take sannyas and make my family very big. If Lord Chaitanya has to go through it, if Lord Krishna had to go through it, if Lord Ram had to go through it, why not Ramdas and Krishnadas and Chaitanya Das? Why should we expect that no problem should come to me? Krishna has to solve my problem. Therefore, understanding the concept of Bhagavad Gita is very important. When we understand the concept of Bhagavad Gita very clearly, then we have a right kind of expectation. When we have right expectations, then our right expectations will be fulfilled. We understand Krishna's system. When we understand Krishna's system, then we only ask those things from Krishna which are coherent to Krishna's system. If they are not coherent to Krishna's system and we ask something, it only leads us to become faithless people. Right? Why Krishna is not doing this to me? Why Krishna is not doing that to me? Therefore, that is what Krishna begins with the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. My dear Arjun, learn to tolerate without being disturbed. And certainly what happened? Because Arjuna followed the instruction of Krishna without having attachment for the results. He realized, I have to perform my duty. Whether Bhishma comes, whether Dronacharya comes, whether Bhurishrava comes, whether my nephew comes, it is painful. It was a continuous pain Arjuna had to go through. But he transcended his pain by being a solid devotee of Krishna. He transcended. And because he transcended by getting the grace of Krishna, that responsibility became very blissful. So therefore, Krishna begins the Bhagavad Gita by saying Nishkama Karma. Whether victory or defeat, you are a kshatriya, you have to perform. And he concludes with Sharanagati. And what is Sharanagati? Becoming more responsible to Krishna. And then the Bhagavatam talks about Anyabhilashita Sunyam. And Chaitanya Charitamrita concludes with, you know, the 8th verse of the Shikshastakam. What is that? Ashlishava Padaratam Pinastumam. So they are all coherent. Whether you take Gita, whether you take Ramayana, whether you take Bhagavat, whether you take Chaitanya Charitamrit, nothing is given free. Anything comes free, beware of it, because there is a tag attached. There is a reaction coming afterwards. But anything which is a responsibility, when the living entity cooperates with God, that cooperation, that dharma, that devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becomes so profound. Therefore, in the 4th canto of the Bhagavatam, the Prachetas, when they approached the Supreme Lord, he said, my dear Lord, we are approaching you. And who are you? You are limitless. And since you are limitless, there is a limitless opportunity to serve you. So once approaching limitless, what else there is to ask? There is nothing to ask. Because limitless personality has the power to give complete satisfaction to a limited person. Therefore, bhakti is not an option. Devotional service is not a hobby. A devotional service is the highest responsibility for the living entity. Therefore, Bhagavatam explains that what is that? That this dharma of the living entity. Savai kumso paro dharmo yato bhakti radokshade. The highest dharma for a living entity is to achieve his relationship with the Supreme Personality of God. When we do that, then all other dharmas we can easily practice. Or we get the strength to practice. Whether it is student dharma, whether it is putra dharma, whether it is putri dharma, all the power comes from Krishna. Without Krishna, all dharma we practice, it's all collection. Putra dharma, one shunya. Pitri dharma, another shunya. You know, mitra dharma, another zero. All those are simply zeros. Therefore, all the zeros has to be like a balloon. They have to be burst. You know, Karna had to be taken out. Dronacharya had to be taken out. Bhishmadev had to be taken out. Duryodhana had to be taken out. All of them have to be taken out. And take them away from establishing dharma, Arjuna had to offer some sacrifice. Their son they had to sacrifice. Ghatochgarh they had to sacrifice. Abhimanyu they had to sacrifice. Because unless sacrifice is done, you cannot help Krishna establish dharma. It may sound very painful, but that is the reality. The Bhagavad Gita is a very scientific, logical, reasonable book. You cannot defy it. Just to say that I don't accept sun rises from the eastern direction. My not accepting it will not work because that is the reality. That's nature's law. So similarly, Bhagavad Gita, what it talks, Bhagavad Gita never superimposes. It doesn't create a fatwa. What does it do? It gives a logic. And therefore, what does Krishna say? My dear Arjun, by the seers of the truth, they have observed this world and they have realized of the permanent, there is no cessation and of the non-permanent, there is no endurance. And how is it? He said, by observing. It's a very observational science. It is not superimposed science. It is not just because, you know, somebody is telling, therefore we have to follow. It's an observational science. It is an experiential science. Therefore, Prabhupada explained, somebody asked him, you know, when did you see God? He said, that doesn't matter. Because me seeing God does not make any difference in your life. But if you accept this process of Krishna consciousness, you can personally experience. That is called as observation and that is called experiential science. Therefore, it's a science. It is a culture. It is not belief. It is not religion. Nobody has to superimpose Krishna on anybody. But when it is given as an experience, if it is given as a culture, when people experience, they realize, wow, sun actually rises from the eastern direction. That's a truth that we cannot avoid. But when we experience it, putting hand in the fire burns. Whether ignorantly, for the research sake, for whatever. We put our finger in the fire, it burns. Similarly, whatever Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, he is only talking from the observation point of view. This is the reality. There is no other reality. You can't change this reality. You can deny this reality. You can fight against this reality. You may argue with this reality, but you can never change this reality. So when we become submitted to Krishna's will through the logical teaching of Bhagavad Gita, then life becomes very easy. It becomes leadable. Therefore, somebody said that material world, some people deny. Material world, some people dwell. But the intelligent people, they deal with the material world. And that's what Krishna taught Arjuna. Deal with this situation and become my glorious instrument. And I'll give all the glory. And therefore, Prabhupada explained, Krishna, what does he do? Lord Ram, what do they do? They are great, they are master, but they give all the credit to their instrument. Arjuna and Hanumanji are the greatest hero of Bhagavat or Mahabharat, and Hanumanji is the greatest hero of Ramayana. Because they are such a detached master, they give. You take the credit. You take the credit. And that's what Prabhupada gave to teach us. He came to teach us this only. You know, worship Krishna so that you can transcend your suffering. And others go to worship others to escape their problem. Then eventually they have to escape the person who told them that, you know, I'll help you escape the problem. That is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now we have a, I gave a very serious talk. Now there is a funny drama. You know, our kids will do a drama. What is the time now? Okay. Start. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Here you go. Yeah.